Good morning, everybody. Yeah, right on, man. Get excited. Somebody needs to be excited. Y'all notice where Jody went? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Who's got joy this morning? If you don't have joy, listen to me here. Here's all you got to do is close your eyes and remember the day God saved you. Remember the day God saved you. Amen. If that don't bring you joy, well, you might not be saved, people, because that should bring you joy, right? The day, 25 years for me, turned me from a heathen into a heathen that's saved. Come on, Andrew, what are you looking at? You're just a heathen that was saved too, right? Amen. All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter 14 this morning. I am glad to be here. We're going to be wrapping up the missionary journey, the first missionary journey, Paul's first missionary journey. Where did we miss that slide at? The conclusion of the missionary journey. No slide, there it is. So Paul went on four missionary journeys if you count Rome. We are going to be finishing up his first missionary journey this morning. And here's what I want to teach you, because I want you to see something. And I'm talking to you guys, all of you really, but those of you who serve in ministry, all right? Those of you who are involved in ministry, all right? Outreach ministry, maybe. Maybe you fill shoeboxes. Maybe you're doing a Halloween ministry. Maybe you work in children's ministry. Maybe you work in the finance ministry, right? Come on, maybe your ministry is a volunteer at the Center of Hope, of which you've done for 9 years. Come on, maybe you volunteer in the kids ministry. Maybe you volunteer at the door in the greeter ministry. Maybe you volunteer in the finance ministry. Maybe you actually work in the ministry. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you got a Bible study in your home ministry. Come on, right? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you used to be a drug addict, and now God has called you to help other drug addicts, and that's the ministry that God has given you.
Praise the Lord, amen? Brother, amen.
So, hey, maybe you work in the fellowship ministry, the media ministry, the women's ministry, the cleaning ministry. Maybe you work at Center of Hope, and you do the food ministry. You understand where I'm going? And I want you to know that here's what I understand. That's the title of today's message. Come on. Back there. What do we have, a replacement back there or something? Oh, we do have a replacement back there. Okay.
Way to go.
I got you.
Ministry.
Okay. I want to talk to you about the roller coaster of ministry. All right? And ministry is absolutely a roller coaster. And you need to hear this, and I need to hear this. And we need to be reminded of this, all right? So if you got your Bibles, we're going to read chapter 14, because that's what we do here. We read the Word of God,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
And we're going to read every single word through the book of Acts for the rest of the way.
Amen.
Now, you're not going to see a lot in here, people, that we haven't seen already. A couple things that I want to point out to you. But here's what I want you to kind of see, though. Even in this chapter right here, I want you to see the roller coaster. The roller coaster of Paul's ministry. And here's what I want to ask you. If Paul was on the roller coaster of ministry, do you think that you're so special that you won't be? No, you're not, and neither am I. Because ministry equals roller coaster. Amen? Sometimes you have your Vicky. Sometimes you have your hands up. Sometimes you be holding on. You know what I'm saying? All right, you got your Bibles. We're going to start in verse 1, actually, all right? At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the synagogue. Listen, there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. That's up. They're on top of the roller coaster right now, right?
Yep.
Come on, man, they're preaching the gospel. People are believing. That's on top. But, oh, dang. The Jews who refused to believe stirred up other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly in for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. Come on. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot. That's the first time I ever seen that in the Bible. A plot afoot. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. And what happened? Come on. But they found out about it and fled to Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. Amen. Just in those few verses, you see the roller coaster, right? All right, let's go on. Verse 8. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth. Does this ring a bell to anybody? Because we've seen Peter and John do the exact same thing to a lame man who had been lame since birth. All right? And he had never walked. Verse 9. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Here's what I want you to see in that verse right there. I want you to know something. Because when you and I are witnessing, when you and I are testifying, and hopefully you and I are sharing the gospel and talking about Jesus Christ, I want you to pay very close attention to the spirit that is within you. Because that spirit that is within you is going to give you the vision to see in that person if they are receiving what you are saying. In other words, what I'm saying is, if they are ready to receive that faith and you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will know it. Amen? Please be in tune with the Holy Spirit. How many times of Acts have we seen here that were filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Over and over and over. Man, it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to get all that worldly crap out of you. Come on. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? Whoa! We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." See, they looked for every opportunity to preach the word. They looked for every opportunity, even when they were being put up on a pedestal, right? But as we'll see here, they didn't go for that. They were not arrogant, all right? They were humble. We know, you remember back a couple chapters ago, King Herod Agrippa? Remember when they praised him and said, "You are God," and he didn't give credit to God? What happened to him? What happened to him? He died and was eaten by worms. Come on. Verse 16. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in your season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and drug him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Is that a roller coaster? Yep. Listen to what he does. But after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. Amen. Listen to me, man. Amen. Wow. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe, all right? I want to show you a map here real quick because I want you to understand what's going on. The map is at the end. Oh. We've seen him. He left from Antioch. We've seen him in Salamis. We've seen him in Patmos. We've seen him in Perga. We've seen him in Antioch, Pisidia. This morning we started in Iconia, all right? And he went to Derbe. And now we're going to see him head back. We're going to see him actually go back. And he doesn't give us a lot of information on what he did as he returned to those places, okay? All right, verse 21. They preached the gospel in the city, and where is this at? In Antioch in Syria. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconia, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go, now listen to this, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. This is what he's not saying. He's not saying, hey, just as long as you go through hardships, you're going to make it to the kingdom of God. That's not what he's saying. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. What he's saying here is, if you are serving and if you are in ministry as you are supposed to be in ministry, ministering, witnessing, and testifying, here's what he's saying. You will go through many hardships on your way to your heavenly home. Amen. Amen? Remember what Timothy said. He said, hey, if you want to, you will be persecuted. If you live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Amen? All right, where am I at? 23. Is that before or after 25? Yes. They said, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, see, they didn't give us a lot of details of what's going on there. They went down to Attalia. We got the map back up there. If Dave wants to put it up there so you can follow it. They're in Attalia right now, and that's right, where is it? Yeah, right there. Far left, right there. So he's fixing to sail back to the beginning, right? From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now what? When are you done with your ministry? You are done when God says you're done. Amen? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Sometimes ministry, like Q and the Taylors are doing a ministry over here at the college for Halloween. All right? That is a ministry that takes a certain amount of time. Well, you're not done with that ministry until that ministry is completely done. But that don't mean you're done with ministry. Okay? You're never done with ministry. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there for a long time with the disciples. Amen? So something I want to show you today. And listen to me, y'all. Y'all in ministry, y'all ain't in ministry, you need to be in ministry. I'm talking to everybody, but I'm really focusing in on those of you who have those hearts of servants, right, who serve and are in ministry. So let's do a little review. Paul had one of the most extreme salvations, when you say, in the Bible, right? God appears, Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, right? He is blinded for 3 days, right? And this stranger, this guy named Ananias, comes to him. You know, and God says, hey, go to this guy, Paul, put your hands on him. And he does, and what happens? He scales fall from his eyes, and he receives the Holy Spirit. Not only that, the Bible says that he is also baptized, right? So after this encounter with Jesus and this encounter with Ananias, he goes to Damascus, and what happens? They try to kill him, all right? The Jews try to kill him. So what did Paul do? He left and went to Arabia for 3 years, where the Bible says God, that Jesus himself revealed the gospel to Paul by revelation. All right? Paul returns to Jerusalem to meet the disciples, and guess what? They don't want anything to do with him. Praise God for Barnabas, remember? Because Barnabas takes Paul by the hand, and he goes before the apostles and says, hey, man, this guy, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he tells him about his salvation, tells him about how he's been speaking fearlessly for God in the name of Jesus. So Paul begins speaking in the name of Jesus boldly everywhere he goes. That's what the Bible says. We're doing a review, right? And then he goes up to debate the Hellenistic Jews. Well, listen, now they want to kill him. And this was a serious threat. You say, how do you know it was a serious threat, Pastor? Because the believers there in Antioch take him down to Caesarea, put him on a boat, and send him to Tarsus, where Paul will stay for 8, possibly as long as 12 years. All right? All right? You follow me so far? So, God is moving in Antioch, remember? They send Barnabas down there. And I want you to remember this verse from 11:23. I really want you to remember it. And this is what he said. He said, when he arrived, he saw what the grace of God has done. Not only can faith be seen, but grace can be seen as well. All right? And I hope if you're visiting with us today that when you walked in that door, you've seen the grace of God. Amen? That you've seen God's grace all over us as people. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus to get him, right? And he brings him back. And the Bible says they minister together for a whole year. Now, what happened in Antioch? That's the first place they were called Christians. That's right. So Paul and Barnabas take an offering to Jerusalem because, remember, there was a famine in Jerusalem. So they take it. And when they get back, after returning, the Holy Spirit had spoke to the leaders of the Antioch church. Y'all remember? Right? They were praying, they were fasting, and the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, I want you to set these men apart, right, for my ministry. So they prayed with them, laid hands on them, and they sent them out, right? So would it be fair to say that evangelism, missionary work, is something that God specifically called Paul to do? Would that be fair? I think it would be fair. Remember what... When Ananias, God first approached Ananias and said, go over here to Paul, Ananias said, I ain't doing it. Right? He said, I know that dude, man. He's been killing Christians. He's been locking them up and all that. And this is what God told Ananias. And I want you to remember this too from Acts 9:15. This man is my chosen instrument. I want you to say chosen instrument.
Chosen instrument.
All right, now say it like you mean it. Chosen instrument. Chosen instrument. All right, to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, but also to the people of Israel, right? I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Boy, when you understand the whole book of Acts, that statement right there, that I will show him how much he must suffer for my name, just jumps out at you, man, when you know what comes up in the rest of it, right? So here's what I want you to see. Has God not orchestrated this beautiful plan of the salvation on the road to Damascus and everything that he's done in Paul's life? So if we look at it, we look at everything that God has done, you say, man, God has put this together. It is all God. It is the Holy Spirit bringing all this together, man, right?
Yep.
Well, that must mean everything's going to go smooth.
Yep.
I mean, God called me. God paved the way for me. God gave me the gifts and the talents. Everything's going to go smooth. It's going to be like taking candy from a baby. I don't know whoever came up with that. That's stupid. Have you ever tried taking candy from a baby? That's not as easy as that saying makes it sound, right? Not so, though, right? Because Paul faced adversity everywhere he went. At every turn, Paul faced adversity in his ministry, persecution in his ministry. If anybody knows what the roller coaster of ministry is like, it is Paul. Amen. Wouldn't you agree? Remember in Paphos, that sorcerer who came against Paul? He was trying to share the gospel with Sergio Paulus, right? And Sergio Paulus did end up believing. But it was only after Paul checkmated that sorcerer by telling him, you are a child of the devil. Right? Man. In Pisidia and Antioch, it says this, the Jews were filled with jealousy and began to contradict Paul. And then heaped abuse on him. They stirred up persecution and expelled them from the region. Does anybody remember, even though they were persecuted and expelled from the region, does anybody remember how they left at the end of chapter 13? They left full of joy and of the Holy Spirit. What? Come on, they're trying to kill you. They expelled you. Because there is joy in completing the work that God has you to do. Amen? You got to keep that in your heart. All right, in Iconium, that's what we read today in chapter 14. They spoke effectively, right? Many Jews and many Gentiles came to the Lord. They performed signs and wonders. Yet there were still those who stirred up the crowd against them, right? And poisoned their minds against them, right? They uncovered this plot afoot to take them and stone them. Golly, you talk about a roller coaster. That's really one of them double loops. Right? By the way, when I was looking for slides for this, you know, roller coasters actually get stuck. Some of them upside down. Just remember that next time ministry. In ministry, you're stuck upside down. All right? Just remember that. All right. So in Lystra, they thought they were gods. But not only in Lystra did they think they were gods, but they actually stoned Paul, drug him out of the city, and left him for dead. Let me ask you something. How's that for a start to your ministry? Because I want you to know something right now. If that happened to you and me, we'd be done. We'd be done. We are such sissies today. Hear me. I'm just calling it like it is. Right? We are such sissies today. Man, we'd be done. We wouldn't even... Come on, we'd have left at Patmos. Right? Let's get some leather skin. Let's get some thick skin, all right? That's what we need. That's what the church needs today. So here's the deal. We are all gifted in areas of our life, right? God gives us all gifts, all talents, all treasures, and they are all God-given, and they are given in order for you and I to use them in ministry.
Amen.
Or in His service. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And you know what? Sometimes we're tempted to think, man, God has gifted me. He has called me, so everybody's going to appreciate me. Everybody's going to support me. Everybody's going to just be so glad at what I'm doing. That's not the case, people. That's not the case. It's never going to be the case. I'm just trying to be honest with you. All right? That's not ever going to be the case, because there's always going to be someone who's going to talk abusively against you. There's always going to be someone who will try to stir up trouble against you. Hear me, because it's true. There will always be someone who wants to shut you up and who wants to take you out. If you're in ministry and if you're serving in the ministry that God has called you to do, listen to me. Those people come along with it. All right? Because listen, if your ministry is just smooth, it ain't God's ministry. It's your ministry. Amen? Paul faced that daily, didn't it? And you know what's amazing to me? Because I've read the whole book of Acts many, many times. He never gives up. He never gives up. He wasn't disillusioned. He wasn't discouraged by the abuse, by the persecution, by the stonings, by the threats. None of that, man. He hung in there. And you know what's even more amazing? He never says, God, I didn't sign up for this. Right? You never hear him question God. God, what? You called me here to be stoned? You never hear that. What did he do after he got stoned? He got up, went back into town. Man, so how was Paul able to fight the good fight, to finish his course and keep the faith? Amen? Because it was because of the way he looked at his calling and his ministry that God has given him. That's what I want to talk to you about today. You say, dang, Pastor, you went a long ways just to get somewhere today. Yeah, but sometimes you do, right? Paul believed that what he was doing was important, and he believed that it was valuable to God in building the kingdom of God. That's what Paul believed. And by the way, this ministry was personally given to him by Jesus Christ. Listen to me. In your ministry, it was personally given to you by Jesus Christ. And you have to see it for what it is. You have to appropriate on it the correct value. Because how you see it and the attitude you have in approaching it is going to affect every single part of it. You understand what I'm saying? How should I look at it, Pastor? Well, let me tell you how to look at it. But don't let me tell you how you look at it. Let's let Paul tell you how to look at it. Let's let the Bible tell you how to look at it. Look, this is only his first missionary journey, right? He's still got three more to go. But here's what I want you to know. Because coming up in the other missionary journeys, he is going to be beaten with rods three times. He is going to take 40 lashes 5 times. He is going to be shipwrecked 3 times. You can read all this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all of it, beginning in verse 16. Listen, he is going to be hungry. There are times when he'll be stripped down naked. Right? We haven't even seen yet the severe persecution that Paul will go through in his ministry. Right? But here in 1 Timothy, he writes this. Now here's what I want you to know, because this is amazing. He writes this after all this happens. I want you to know that. After all this happens, Paul said to Timothy, and this is what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, and that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Now I want you to pay it very important to these two words, even though. Paul has his own even those. I got my own even those. And you got your own even those. Come on. What are Paul's? Here they are, man. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor. Yes, I can even though those. Come on. And a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. That's all of us, man. Come on. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. I don't know if you can see it or not, but I am covered in grace. It's all over me, man. Huh? It is, man. It's all over me. I'm covered in it.
Amen.
It was poured out on me, man, abundantly. And you know what? Man, I go through the day and I get it rubbed off here and rubbed off there. But you know what? It's amazing. When I get up, man, I'm all graced out again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yes, thank you, Lord. The grace of the Lord of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You see, when grace is poured out on you and you're wearing it like you're supposed to, what else shows up? Faith and love. It comes with it, man, when you understand grace. Right? Because we learned a few weeks ago there's power in grace. So here's what I want you to see. It was this perspective that allowed Paul to understand, not just understand, but to value his ministry. What do you mean? Because he says it was the Lord who gave him the strength. It was the Lord who found him worthy. And it was the Lord who appointed him. Listen to me. In your ministry, I want you to know right now, it is the Lord who's going to strengthen you. It is he who found you worthy to put you there. Come on. And he appointed you into that ministry. You say, well, I don't have one, Pastor. My question is why? That's my question. And that's a legitimate question. It is an absolute legitimate question. Why do you not have a ministry? God didn't give you no gifts. God didn't give you no talents to use in his service. Oh, wait a minute. You're too busy. Well, hold on. You mean God blessed you so much that you're too busy to serve him? I don't think so. I really don't think so. This is how Paul could value his ministry, because he understood it wasn't about him. It was about God. Amen? And that's why he could have this kind of attitude through persecutions and through difficulties and on that roller coaster, because he knew that what he was doing was part of God's plan. And he was right there in the center of God's will for his life. Who's been there? Lord, help me to stay there. Because sometimes it's easy to get there, but man, stay in there. Because I want you to know, everybody's trying to get you out. The devil, the world, sometimes your closest friends, come on, your family, are trying to get you out of that, of the center of God's will. Don't let them. Don't let them get you out of there. All right. For Paul, serving God, was absolutely. You read the book of Acts. You read his epistles. For Paul, serving God was the absolute greatest honor on this entire planet. For him, that was the number one thing. All right? That God found him worthy. That God found him trustworthy and appointed him to his service. And you read Paul's life, And there's no doubt that was the most important thing in his life. I want to read something to you. It's brief, just a brief message. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I just want you to know something. Because he's talking about here in verse 14. It comes from 2 Timothy 3:11. And Paul is talking to Timothy, of course. And by the way, this is his last book, right? This is Paul's last epistle that he would write. There's only four chapters in it, right? And after this, you hear from Paul no more because Paul has laid down his life for the gospel. In fact, in chapter 4, he says, I am being poured out as a drink offering. He knew his time was very short. But here's what he said. The persecutions, the sufferings. And he's talking to Timothy. He's saying, you know what I went through. All right? I want you to listen to this. What kinds of things happened to me? Where? In Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. Isn't that what we just read? But I want you to pay attention to this. The persecutions I endured. We've seen that. But listen to this. Yet the Lord rescued me from half of them. Listen to me, man. You who are in ministry, and when it gets tough, and you feel like you're on that double upside down, or maybe you're stuck upside down, listen to me. Just like God delivered Paul, rescued Paul, He will rescue you. It may not be the way you want. Come on. But He will absolutely rescue you as well. Amen? All right, so would it make sense for me to say that you and I were saved to make a positive difference in this world right now? Not just to go to heaven when we die, but to make a positive difference in this world right now. And here's what I want you to know. God initiated that, not you. All right? You understand what I'm saying? God initiated that. God chose you. It is an act of grace that He chose you for that ministry. Please see that. God, please see that. It wasn't because of your own goodness. Remember what Paul said? Even though I was a blasphemer, even though I was a persecutor, even though we all have our even though's, He didn't choose us for that ministry because of our own goodness. But He did it because He has a plan. And He said, hey, Brittany will fit right in there. She'll fit right in there. Right in my plan. Oh, Brittany, you got even those? Oh, I got a lot of even those. But you know what? None of those matter. Amen. Here's what I think. The more even those you got, the more God's going to use you. Amen. Because you have, through Him, already overcame so much that you know that whatever comes, man, and you see what I've already done through the power of God, no matter what comes now, it's going to be like taking candy from a baby. All right, so whatever your assignment, whatever your ministry is right now, I want you to see it as important. All right, I want you to see it and place a very, very high value on it because it is God who gave you the strength. It is God who found you worthy. And it is God who appointed you to that ministry. Please value it. Please value it. I want you to know something else. There is no reward for position. All right? God's not going to say, all right, all you pastors, come on together. I want to give you all a special prize. That's not what He's going to do. Matter of fact, that's not in the Bible. The only rewards given out are based solely on what you did and I did with what God gave us. Can I say that again? The only rewards that are going to be given out are going to be based on what we did individually with what God gave us. You say, can you prove that, Pastor? Just so happens I can. There's a parable of the 10 talents, or the talents, right? In Matthew chapter 25. I want you to pay real close attention to this because there's a verse in here that most people don't even understand and don't even get. But we're going to read just two of them, and then I'm going to paraphrase the rest of the story, all right? Verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Listen to me. That was Jesus, all right? And Jesus now sits at the right hand of God. But before he left, he gave you and I the ministry. You don't believe me? He said we are ambassadors. He said in Corinthians, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Come on. So he calls all of his servants to him, and he gives them what? Gifts, talents, and treasures. For what? The ministry. For the ministry. All right? We'll read on in verse 15. And to one he gave how many? And to the other he gave two. And to one, and to the other he gave one. This is the part of the verse I want you to see. Please hear me. To each according to their ability. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, follow me. So the one who had five, here he comes. He's coming back. And by the way, Jesus is coming back. Right? And we're all going to give an account of the things done in this body, whether good or bad. All right, so he comes back. And the guy who gave, who had five did what? He doubled it. He got five. And listen to what? This is what God said to him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little. I will put you in charge of a bunch. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Now, wait a minute, because, hey, before he left, he gave another guy two, right? And he comes down, he says, how'd you do? He said, I got four. What did he say to the guy who only had two? Oh, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little. I will give you, put you in charge of much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He said the same thing to the guy he gave five that he did to the guy he gave two.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what gifts or talents God has given you. What matters is, what did you do with them? Amen? The guy who had two didn't ask why he didn't have, wasn't asked why he didn't have five. The only thing he was asked is, what did he do with the two? What about the guy who only had one? He didn't do anything with it. The Bible says he went and buried it in the ground. I knew you were a harsh servant. And I knew you reap what you did not sow, and sow what you did not reap, and all those kinds of things. And what did he say? He said, take it from that servant. Take it from the him and give it to the one who had five. But what happened to that guy? He said, put him in the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. These were servants, right? Weren't these saved people? Listen to me. Everything, everybody, every person, everything serves God. You understand that, right? The Bible in 1 John, in John chapter 1, says that everything was made for him and by him. Right? Everything serves God. But listen, you know, James said, hey, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my ministry or by my works. God didn't save you just to sit on the couch. God didn't save you to bankroll your bank account. God didn't save you for that. He saved you for the ministry. And as long as God still has you here, that's where you're supposed to be doing. Ministry. What ministry, Pastor? Whatever the ministry God tells you to get in. Amen. I'm thankful for those of you who minister beside me, who go to war with me, who fight the battles with me, who we have to sometimes, you know, spiritual warfare, right? Come on. I'm so thankful that I never, ever stand alone. And that people understand we are in a battle right now. Amen? All right. I want to share something with you, just kind of an analogy. And there was, back in the old days, they would put the bricks on a cart and the horse would bring it up, right? And people would take the bricks from the cart and they would take it over to the construction site. We don't do that anymore, Pat. Now they pull up and they crane it over and all that. But they were doing that, and there was a couple guys doing that, taking them from there over to the construction site, and somebody came up and asked one of the men, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm moving bricks from here to there. So the guy went around and he asked another guy who was doing the same job. He said, what are you doing? He said, we're building a church.
Woo!
Well, wait a minute, man. They both had the same job, but they had a completely different outlook, perspective, and placed a different value on the job that they were doing. So let me ask you, listen to me closely, please. Because some of you who are in ministry have gotten lazy. Hear me. Are you building a church or are you just moving bricks? Because your perception of that, Your attitude is going to affect the outcome of that ministry. Do you hear what I'm saying? I need you. You need me. He needs us. All of us. Amen? See the big picture. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Look, Acts, what's the big picture of Acts? What the Holy Spirit is doing. The Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Apostles. What the Apostles are doing. But within that, the Bible is so deep that within those big pictures, there's another big picture. And that big picture, what God is trying to show us is ministry is a roller coaster. And ministry ain't for sissies. All right? Ministry ain't for sissies, man. When you come in, just know this. You're stepping into a war zone. All right? There'll be battles to fight. Sometimes I actually start getting looking forward to them. Come on. Right? Bring it on, man. Bring it on. Don't lose sight of the big picture. And here's the truth of the matter. Don't lose heart and don't lose faith, even when sometimes it will feel like or look like you're just moving bricks. But you're not. You're not. You are building the kingdom of God. All right? And sometimes it's a handful at a time, and sometimes it's a brick at a time. But in your ministry, you are building the church of God, the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? See, Pastor, why are you sharing this with us, man? Because I need you to be faithful. I need you to stay strong. All right? Especially in this time, in this culture, in this day and age. We need to stay focused on what we're doing. Paul has been abused. He's been persecuted, expelled, stoned, and left for dead. Only on the first missionary journey. Come on. But he is not discouraged. And he is not disillusioned. Right? And here's why. I want you to hear me. Because his significance and his worth is not based on his ministry. Hear me, because this is very important. His significance and his worth is not based on his ministry. Here's why. When his ministry is doing well, that doesn't make him more significant or more worthy. And when his ministry is not doing well, like being stoned and left for dead, that doesn't make him less significant. Because Paul understood this. His ministry was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he was just the chosen instrument. Chosen instruments. You understand? Oh, Lord, choose me. I want to be your chosen instrument. Put me in a place, Lord, where I can be that person that you choose to be your chosen instrument. Believe that what you are doing today is part of God's eternal plan. All right? And listen, so many people give up early because they don't see the big picture. They think everybody's just going to be good, everything's going to be smooth, everything's going to be fine. And that's why I'm telling you today, that is a lie of the devil. It's not. It's going to be quite the opposite. You're going to have to battle and fight for every inch you get. Amen? But every inch is worth it, man. It is. Every inch is worth it. I just want you to know. Paul knew what gave him strength, right? And then God considered him worthy and appointed him to his service. And it's because Paul kept that perspective. And I want to say it one more time because I need you to remember this. It is God who strengthened you in your ministry. It is he who found you worthy. It is he who chose you as the chosen instrument to participate in that ministry. It is he who will rescue you from the tough times of that ministry as well. Now, with that perspective, that's how Paul, at the end of his life, could say this right here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That is a magnificent statement. For somebody who was going to go through or has been through everything that Paul has going to go through that you'll see coming up in the book of Acts, and you've seen a little bit of it already, but for him to get to the end of his life and say, I fought the good fight because God gave me the strength. I finished my course because God called me and found me worthy to put me on that course. Amen? And I kept the faith because I kept focused on Jesus. Amen? That's the only way you're going to survive. That's the only way I'm going to survive. I know ministry is like a roller coaster. If anybody does, the pastor does, know ministry is like a roller coaster. But don't forget your calling. Don't forget your purpose in Christ. And listen, I want to give you one small piece of advice. Be bold. All right? Be bold. Be humble. But most of all, be faithful. Be faithful to the ministry that God has called you in and God has put you in. Be bold, be humble, but most of all, be faithful. Because if you're not faithful, who cares if you're bold or humble? Come on. Paul saw himself as carrying out a special mission from God. Do you see, and you will see, how many battles that he fights along the way? All right? But here's what he always knew. Here's what he always knew, and this is what I want you to know. There was going to be battles. But remember, the war has already been won.
Amen.
Amen. We already know the outcome. And we fight on the way. Right? Knowing I'm going to get there. Don't know how bad, how intense the battles might be. But I know this. God is going to give me the strength. God found me worthy and put me in that position. Come on. And appointed me to His service as well as He did you. Amen. So please, whether you're in the ministry, working in the ministry, in the food ministry, got a Bible ministry in your home, outreach ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, fellowship ministry, children's ministry, whatever ministry, listen to me, it is very valuable. And you need to see it as valuable because God gave it to you. Do you understand that? God gave it to you. And He places a very high value on that. Amen? Because I can promise you, without a doubt, ministry is absolutely a roller coaster. Amen? If you would, stand with me. I want you to remember something. What kept Paul going? What kept him going? I mean, through all the stuff he went through, what kept him going? Because he understood that what he was doing was valuable and it was building the kingdom of God and it was what God had gifted him to do. Amen? And God has gifted you for something. He has. He has given you gifts and talents to use in His kingdom. All of us. Don't be scared, man. Yeah, you may have to fight some battles. No, you will have to fight some battles. There'll be battles, man. Some of it'll be from Satan. Some of it'll be from the people in the ministry with you. Come on. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. The battles, they'll come from every side sometimes. Amen? But it's God who strengthens you. It is God who found you worthy and appointed you to that service. And if you don't have a ministry, you need to get on your knees and ask God what it is, when, where it is, how it is. He wants you to serve. Because He did not save you just to go to heaven when you die. He saved you to make a positive difference in this world right now. Amen. And all of you, man, I want to thank you again who serve, who minister. I mean, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. And listen, for those of you who may be in your ministry, maybe you've gotten discouraged or disillusioned because it ain't going the way that you think it should. Or, you know, the first thing you got to look at is, hey, Lord, have I gotten lazy? Come on, have I gotten lazy? Right? But if you haven't, don't be disillusioned or discouraged by the outcome. The outcome is not up to you. Right? It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're just a chosen instrument to carry it forth. Don't get discouraged. Mike, I'm sure at the Center of Hope, sometimes you probably in Jobs for Life class, you start out with 20 people and you might end up with 3. You can't take that personal, because Mike is there doing what Mike is called to do, sharing the gifts and talents that God gave Mike. He is not responsible for the people's decisions. Amen? Mike is there representing God to give them an opportunity. Whether they accept the opportunity or not is up to them. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning again for your word and what it says. And Father, we thank you for people like Paul and like Barnabas. And Father, as we'll see in these coming up missionary journeys, people like Silas and John Mark. And Lord, we just thank you for these guys who have set an example for us and shown us, Lord, just what ministry is and what ministry looks like. And Lord, there is no doubt, based on your word, the word you have given us, that ministry is like a roller coaster. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you for showing me that. I know that going in, Lord, that it's going to be a fight and it's going to be a battle. But man, Lord, the joy and the peace that comes from knowing that it is you who's going to give me the strength, and that you found me worthy enough, Lord, to appoint me to that service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you'll always rescue me from the difficult times. Not always the way I think, Lord, but you will always rescue your child. Lord, I want to lift up to you this morning those who don't have a ministry. Father, I just pray that you would reveal to them. They would seek you. The word says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Lord, I pray that they would seek, ask and knock. Where you want them involved in ministry. And Father, I know as you reveal it to them, you'll reveal this to them as well. There is no ministry that doesn't come with sacrifice. But Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made for me. And whatever I have to sacrifice for you, Lord, help me to see it and understand it and receive it with joy. Father, again, I thank you for all those you've sent who are ministry-minded, who understand that everything we see will be burned up, that we need to store our treasures in heaven, Lord. We do that by being obedient to you in our ministry and our service. Thank you, Father, for the parable of the talents. Thank you that there is no reward for position, Lord, but only for what we've done with what you've given us. Whether it be 5, whether it be 4, 3, 2, whatever it be, Lord, help us to be faithful for what you've given us. Open up this time to you, Lord. Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray they would let me know, Lord, so that I can show them, Lord, what salvation looks like, what salvation is, and what salvation means. It is truly the most important decision anyone can ever make. Lord, again, we thank you. I thank you for each person here. I ask you to bless them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Altar's open if you need to come forward.